I'm back. This is our children's moment. So if we have anybody that's kindergarten through fifth grade want to come up, we're going to do like a little illustration here. You're more than welcome to, or you can stay in your seats. It's up to you. Right after this, we're going to head back, though, to junior church where you can pick up your kids after the service. We have some special stuff that we do just for the kids back there, as well as a nursery. So you're more than welcome. If they want to come back there. Well, let's see what I brought with me this morning. Yeah, you can just stay right there. You're fine. Post-it notes. You guys know what post-it notes are? Yeah, post-it notes. I have some blank ones. Danny, could I have your help real quick? He's in the front, so he gets volunteered all the time. Come on, Danny. Thank you so much for being such a good sport, whether you like it or not. All right. Appreciate that. I have... post-it notes are what a lot of times we use to write notes, right? To label things, to put stuff on. So I brought some stuff this morning. This is so small to fit in my bag. All right. This morning I brought some stuff. We're gonna put some labels on you. A lot of times in life, with our family, with friends, school, work, we get labeled. And we have a lot of things that happen. So this one's nice, caring. You get labeled as a caring person. Maybe hardworking. Friendly. Funny, right? Maybe we get labeled as funny. This doesn't all describe Danny. This could be any of us. He's the multi-person right now, okay? Kind. Although he is funny, and he is kind. Oh, now those are all good ones. But sometimes people label us with negative ones, like loser. Maybe we label ourselves this one, dumb. Have you ever been labeled dumb? Maybe made a mistake? Lazy. You ever been called lazy before? Maybe unworthy? Maybe there's some scars in your life, emotional scars, various things that have happened in your past that you have to deal with. Maybe some trauma, maybe there's unhealed trauma, maybe there's some healed trauma. Oh, maybe we got called selfish. You're so selfish for doing that. All right, now obviously we don't have time this morning to go through all the labels, all the things that people have done to us or called us, all the things that have shaped who we are. I don't have time to list all those out, and I don't think there's enough space on Danny to do that. But when we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see these labels and we see the things that people have called us and the things that we've called ourselves or the lies that we believe about ourselves, it's so easy to think this is who we are. It's so easy to let this shape us and to make us. Until there's something else that happens. And that's when we come across Jesus. And Jesus starts taking these labels and he says, you know what? You're definitely not a loser because I created you. And he starts saying, you know what? You're not unworthy or I would not have died for you. You're not lazy. You just like to have fun sometimes. You know, these scars, I can heal them. I can get you to people. I can get you the help that you need. The trauma, let me take that. Let me hold that. Let me be there with you through that. You're definitely not dumb because I don't create anything that's dumb. You know, and he starts taking some of these labels and he says, yeah, sometimes you are selfish, but that's okay because I died for that. And he starts taking, yeah, you are hardworking. And you're funny, and you're friendly, and you're caring, and you're kind because I created you into those things. He said, but all these are just labels. It's like the one label that matters that I give you now, you're a child of God. And that's the only label that matters. That's the only label that matters. You can have a seat. You can carry that one with you. And I'm going to turn it over to Fred as he's going to talk more about our past.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Good to see everybody here this morning. We are continuing our series, I guess a September series, on God's solutions to life struggles. And today, if you haven't guessed already, we're going to be talking about our past, okay, our past. What I want you to do in your Bible, I want you to first of all turn to Acts 26, and the verses 9 through 11, and I just want you to mark it, turn over to Acts 26 and put a marker there, okay? And after you mark that, if you will, please, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, after you mark Acts 26, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want us to look at verses 12 through 16, okay? Just follow with me. As the Apostle Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy, Paul said, beginning of verse 12, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. In other words, Paul says, listen up. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for the very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Amen? Amen. Our past. You know, it makes us who we are. It teaches us about God, about life, about other people, and it also teaches us about ourselves. We can learn so much from what lies behind us on this journey that we call life. And God wants us to learn and gain insightful wisdom from our experiences and then move forward. Learn and move forward. Now, the Apostle Paul spoke and wrote about his past often, which is interesting because he tells us in our text we're going to be studying later to forget what's behind. But yet he talked about it often. And his past taught him invaluable lessons that shaped his life and ministry as an apostle of Christ and reminded him of the grace and mercy that God bestowed upon somebody like him. Furthermore, sharing his past with others through his writings assured his readers that regardless of how sinful and how corrupt their past might be, that they too, if he, the worst of sinners, could be saved, they too can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what he wanted people to know. Our past can and should be used for good. However, there are those Christians who get stuck in the past. They get stuck in the past. They can't enjoy and live life fully today because they are bound and held captive by the things that they have done in their yesterdays. Satan loves to remind us of the sins that we have committed, the mistakes we have made, the people we have hurt, the choices that we have lamented, and the lifestyle that we once lived. He wants to remind us of all of that. Because he hopes to see to use our past to create doubt of our salvation and to keep us focused on all the sinful actions that we deeply regret so that we cannot move forward in the grace of Jesus Christ. That's what Satan wants. And it's for this very reason that Paul writes in Philippians 3 verse 13, from the New Century Version, he said, there is one thing I always do, forgetting the past and strain towards what is ahead. Now, we just read where Paul wrote about his past, where he described himself as once being a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. I mean, no preacher wants that on their resume, okay? I mean, and I don't think any church said, well, listen, he would once be a blasphemer, persecutor, violent man. Man, we don't want that guy. We don't want that guy. But you see, Paul hated the church of Jesus Christ with a passion and did everything he could to destroy it. That's what Paul did. In fact, I want you to listen to Paul. I want you to now turn over to Acts chapter 26. You should have already marked that for me. Acts chapter 26. I want you to listen to Paul as he describes the hatred that he once had for Jesus and his followers. Acts 26, verses 9 through 11. Listen to Paul. Paul is standing before King Agrippa. He is getting ready to be arrested and charged and sent to Rome. But listen to what he says to King Agrippa and those who are listening nearby. He says, he's explaining what happened in his past. He talks about his past. He talks about his conversion and all these things. And he says, I too was once convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints, Christians, in prison. And when they were and when they were put to death, man, I cast my vote against them. Many a time, I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them, how? Through torture. I tried to force them to blaspheme the name of Jesus. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. I mean, Paul said, I hated Jesus. I hated him. And I tried everything that I could to destroy anybody who was his follower because I hated them. After becoming a Christian, you know, here he is. I hate Jesus. I hate the church. But then he becomes a Christian. He becomes a follower of Jesus. He becomes a preacher of the gospel. He begins to establish churches that he once hated. And after becoming a Christian, Paul could have allowed his violent past to spiritually cripple him, but instead he knew that by the grace of God, he was completely and forever forgiven. That's what he knew. And when Paul spoke of his past, it was for the purpose of assuring others that they too can be forgiven regardless of what they have done. If you can go back in time, are there some things that you would change? Things that you would do differently if you could go back in time? There are things in my past that just sickened me. It just sickens me when I even think about them. And every once in a while, Satan just kind of brings that stuff back up again. And I wish they never happened. But they did. But isn't that also true of your past as well? You wish it never happened, but it did. And that was certainly true of the Apostle Paul. However, he learned to let go of the past and live for Christ today and look forward to his victory in the future. Amen? So I want to begin by taking a look here at some things in our past that stir up anxiety within us. Things in our past that stir up anxiety within us. First of all, there are, if you're taking notes, there are those regrettable events. We've all had them. Regrettable events. Now, these can be relatively minor events, at least at the time. I regret wrestling with the high school and college boys at Camp Latoli, a Christian camp in North Texas during the summer of 1988. I regret that day. They were determined, you know, the high school boys, some college kids that were also junior counselors, they were determined to make me and two other counselors who also happened to be preachers to eat shaving cream, okay? If you've ever been to a Christian camp, you know what I'm talking about, okay? To eat shaving cream. One of the preachers, Bob Conklin, had played practical jokes on these guys all week long. He just tortured them, you know? He just tortured them. So late Friday night was payback time. It was all in good fun, I think. You know, it was all in good fun. But while wrestling with one of the boys, he and I rode down this hill. I mean, he was the smallest of the bunch, so I knew I could take him, okay? But as I started running back up the hill, another kid who played football in college tackled me from the side, and as soon as he hit me, my right knee went pop. In fact, it was so loud that everybody stopped what they were doing and said, "What was that?" And I go, "I think it was me," you know? The next morning, I was in excruciating pain from my toenails to the hair on top of my, even my eyelashes hurt. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't even walk on that leg. And so they took me to the emergency room where it was determined that I had three bruised ribs and a shattered cartilage in my right knee. Church camp can be dangerous. It really can. It can be dangerous. But you know, in retrospect, I don't think shaving cream would have tasted that bad. It was menthol, okay? I don't think it would have been that bad. But more on a serious note, there are those events that happened in our past that we deeply, deeply regret. A business deal that went sour costing you thousands of dollars. A sharp argument that you had with your dad just before his fatal heart attack. The car wreck that paralyzed your five-year-old daughter all because you took your eyes off the road just for a brief moment to read a text. I mean, there are things in our life that we deeply, deeply regret. But then secondly, there also are those sinful actions. As Christians who love God more than anything, I believe it's our past sins that hurt most. They hurt most. And although we are in a room full of Christians, you know, most of us, if not all, have committed certain sins that just simply breaks our hearts when we think about them. They just break our hearts. The shame, the guilt, the disgrace would really be unbearable if we just dwelled on them all the time. And if we could only go back in our past, we would undo what we did. We wouldn't hesitate if we could go back in our past. But this time, you know, what we would do differently would be this, I believe, if we could go back in our past. This time we wouldn't have gone on that date. We wouldn't have allowed those words to leave our lips if we could go back in our past. We wouldn't have entered that place. We wouldn't have clicked on that internet site. We would have stopped at the first drink. We would have, you know, given heed to the warning. We would have, you know, turned and looked another direction. We would have said no. We would have said no if we could go back and redo it. However, since sinful actions cannot be undone, there are those who can't seem to move beyond their past. They just can't move beyond it. And consequently, they can never experience the joy that God has for them now. There's the young Christian wife and mother. She was a member of the church where I preached in Kentucky. And she came to my office one day, I mean, just crying. And she says, I just can't stop thinking about something in my past. She said, I cry myself to sleep almost every night, just thinking about that in my past. And I said, well, I mean, I would certainly be glad to pray for you. In fact, I'm sure I was already turning to Philippians chapter 3. But then she said, can I tell you what it is? I said, I mean, you know now that you're a child of God, and whatever is in your past is forgiven. I know, she says, I know that. But she says, but when I was 15 years old, I had an abortion. And I cry for that baby boy, she said, every night. And this past just keeps gnawing at her. There's the Christian husband who cannot forgive himself for the adulterous relationship that he had years before, even though his wife and God had already forgiven him. Because Satan just keeps reminding us of how bad we've blown it, because he does not want us to revel in the victory that we have in Jesus. He doesn't want us to think about that victory. And so, yes, there are those sinful things that we've done in our past that, man, sometimes we just can't get over. Got to. But then thirdly, again, if you take your notes, there are the glory days. Yeah, the glory days. Even good memories can often stir up deep anxiety within us. I mean, there are those who yearn for the good old days when they were younger, when life was less complicated, when they were, you know, more popular, or when the kids were small, or when their husband or wife was still alive, or when the church was 300 strong. I remember those days when the church was 300 strong. And they look at those days as being the time when they were the most happy and the most content. And over the years, they try to recapture that good feeling, but they just can't. They cannot recapture it. And now they simply mope and around lamenting over the good old days gone, that are now gone. I believe that good memories is a wonderful gift. They're a wonderful gift from God. And I'm glad that God gives us these memories, but we are not to allow the good old days to keep us from enjoying today. That's the problem. You know, the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 118, verse 24, he said, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today is that day, okay? But now I want us to take a look. If you turn your Bible over to Philippians chapter 3, if you will, please. I want us to take a look here at Paul's or God's solutions in dealing with our past, okay? Paul's or God's solution in dealings with our past. And so I want you to follow with me Philippians chapter 3 and listen to the Apostle Paul, verses 12 through 14. Paul said, not that I have already obtained all of this. Now, let me stop for a second. Now, when Paul said, it's not that I've already obtained all of this, the all of this that he is talking about is what he says in the verses prior to this, and that is, I am trying more and more every day to be like Jesus. He said, I want to be like Christ. That's what I want to be. And Paul says, and it's not that I've already obtained all of this. Man, I've got a long ways to go. Or that I'm already made perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do is forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to be like Jesus, to win the prize of the eternal life in heaven, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So Paul, or God's solution in dealing with our past, number one, Paul said, forget what is behind. Will you say that with me? Forget what is behind. Now, again, verse 13, the Greek words that Paul uses for the phrase forgetting what lies behind is an athletic term. It's an athletic term. It was used of a runner who outran another in a race. And once he got into the lead, he would never turn around and look back. He would forget about the runners who were behind him and kept focused on the finish line. Okay? That's what those words mean. On May 6th, 1954, Roger Bannister became the first man in history to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Within 2 months of him breaking that record, John Landy eclipsed the record of Bannister's by 1.4 seconds. On August 7th, 1954, the two met together for a race to determine, this time, who is indeed the fastest. Who's the fastest? In fact, there's a 2014 documentary about that historic race titled The Miracle Mile. But as Bannister and Landy moved into the last lap, Landy, held the lead. He was head of Bannister. And it looked as if he would win, but as he neared the finish, he was haunted by the question, where is Bannister? And as he turned to look back, Bannister took the lead, and Landy later told Time magazine reporter, if I had not looked back, I would have won. But Bannister won that race. But that's exactly what Paul is describing here. When he says, forget what's behind. I mean, he is simply saying, I will not allow my past, good or bad, I will not allow my past to cause me to take my eyes off of the goal. Again, the goal is to be like Jesus, and the prize is eternal life in heaven. But did Paul have regrettable events in his life? Well, you better believe it. I mean, just one hardship after another, okay? Did he make sinful mistakes? Well, I don't think he would call them mistakes. Paul deliberately tortured and had Christians killed in an effort to stamp out the church, is what Paul did. Glory days? Well, in fact, Paul presents his victory list as a Pharisee in Philippians 3, verses 5 and 6. He had credentials that any good Jew would love to have. But yet, he was a leading Pharisee, and yet Paul said that he considered his victory list as manure compared to knowing Christ in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 3. He said, whatever I have accomplished, it's all but manure compared to knowing Jesus Christ. Now, by saying that he forgets the past, Paul didn't mean that he had a bad memory. I sometimes have a bad memory. Do we have any other bad memory people? Okay. I sometimes have a bad memory, especially when I go to Walmart and Brenda asks me to pick up something while I'm there at the store. Because I will invariably come home and she'll be looking through the bags and said, where's the stuff I asked you to buy? And of course, I mean, I would just, I'm sorry, I just forgot. And I call it a bad memory, but I never forget to go in there, what I went in there to buy for me, okay? I never forget that. But believe me, Paul remembered what he did. He remembered what he did. I have no doubt that he could remember the faces of the Christians that he tortured. I think he could remember every single one. I'm sure that he remembered the cries of the children clinging to their parents as they were bound and hauled away to Jerusalem to be tried, tortured, and then executed. I'm sure that he could remember, you know, watching Stephen, the first Christian martyr, being stoned to death by the angry mob of which he was attending to their coats, and even remembers the final prayer that he prayed, "Lord, do not hold this against them." Acts 7, verse 16. As Christians, we don't forget the terrible things that we've committed. Am I right about that? We don't forget it. We don't. We don't forget the people that we have hurt. Every act, word, event, situation, and circumstance are embedded forever in our memories. We just don't forget it. But like Paul, we forget in the sense that we will not allow our past to control our lives any longer. That's what we're talking about. And I know that that's easier said than done. And we can't do it by our own strength. We can't do it ourselves. That's why we need to follow Paul's second step, okay? The second step is this. Paul said, "I forget what's behind." And number two, "I press on toward the goal." Will you say that with me? Press on toward the goal. Philippians 3, verse 14. Again, this just simply means to relentlessly strive to become like Christ. That's what the goal is. Paul is saying, "I don't keep my eyes on my past. I keep them on Jesus." Okay? That's the key, is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Friends, I don't care what you've done in your past. Okay? You might care. People who hurt that you hurt might care. But God will not hold that past against you. If you are in Christ, having had your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus in baptism, then your past, whether it's long past or something you did this morning, is completely and eternally forgiven. God will never hold your sins against you.